we begin this morning with the latest on the spread of COVID-19 in Arizona. The state reported 2,386 new positive COVID cases today and 6 deaths, bringing the cumulative totals to more than 1.13 million known positive cases and 20,453 Arizonans who have died as a result of the virus. We are now nearing the 2-year mark from when COVID-19 was first discovered, and new cases are beginning to wane nationwide. So are we beginning to reach a point once again where the end of the pandemic is finally in sight? For an answer to that question, I got a hold of Dr. Saskia Popescu earlier this morning. She's an epidemiologist for the University of Arizona and George Mason University. And we talked about both how far we've come in the fight against this virus and how far we still have to go. It seems as if the battle against COVID may finally be waning, but where are we in the war?
It's hard to tell. I think we are in a better position than we were even months ago, simply because we understand a lot more of the transmission dynamics and the things that are going to go into, quote unquote, the end game of COVID-19. But in many ways, we are still struggling to understand things like immunity, especially when it comes from vaccines, meaning vaccine-derived immunity. So right now, I think a lot of us are hopeful because we know that the vaccines are very effective, you know, even with the likely requirement of boosters in certain populations. But it's going to be very interesting how the winter months unfold, because this is the first time that we are seeing a reliance on vaccines.
Yeah.
And that very much is going to kind of show us what the future looks like, because right now there's a lot of questions about if COVID's going to be endemic, meaning a majority of the population has some amount of immunity and we're just kind of living with it. We've in some ways blunted transmission and we're not in that pandemic state. We're living with COVID, if you will. Mm-hmm. If that happens, we're not there yet. If it happens, though, that will be very reliant on a lot of things, and that includes viral evolution, waning immunity, those kinds of things. But ultimately, we still have a long road to go in understanding this disease and being very, very vigilant in our control measures. Because as you've seen, right now people, you know, are taking their masks off and they feel like, well, COVID's over. Why do I still have to do this? And unfortunately, that's why we do see a lot of these pockets of transmission.
So I want to take us back, you know, some months ago when we, for the first time, I think, thought we can take off our masks, things are heading back to normal, it's looking good, the cases are going down, when the vaccines first started getting out there. And then, of course, the Delta variant hit and everything sort of changed, and we've been grappling with that ever since. What does this look like in terms of variants? Can we expect another variant to pop up, and what would that one look like potentially?
You know what? Viruses are going to virus. That means part of it is that they evolve. So any place that we allow the virus to transmit is an opportunity for it to evolve and another variant to occur, meaning that we will likely see more variants. That is expected. Now, hopefully these are not variants that create issues for more secondary infections or increased transmissibility like we're seeing with Delta. So it's really about controlling the spread of this disease so that we can reduce the risk of more variants, or at least more dangerous variants being developed. And I think, you know, that's just the way nature works. It's not unexpected, but I'm not sure people really understand that part of this is going to really involve global vaccine equity, and that there will be times where we're going to see little surges that you're going to have to put your mask back on. And we're going to be really mindful of those control mechanisms, like avoiding indoor crowded spaces where you have a lot of people congregating in questionable ventilation.
So that's something you predict, you know, going forward for what, years, for forever? Is there a point at which we get herd immunity that we've heard so much about? And even if the coronavirus is still, you know, circulating, it becomes like the other coronaviruses, the common cold kind of coronaviruses that are already circulating?
Truth be told, it is really hard to predict something like that. I think that we will continue, of course, to see variants. But if we can keep community transmission levels low, that will reduce the risk that we, you know, get more variants, and variants that will likely cause another huge surge in cases, especially as we understand immunity and that viral evolution better.
So it sounds like in your mind, this will be something that ebbs and flows.
Very much so. I think we've seen that over the past couple years at this point. You know, it comes in waves, and A lot of this, though, is based off of human behavior. So, for example, we have these very effective vaccines. And from the beginning, though, we knew that they did not provide sterilizing immunity, meaning they are so wonderful against severe disease and mortality. But we know that there are breakthrough infections. That's the way that we expected this to work. But how we communicate that is really important. So we know that there will be immunity questions and development, maybe requiring boosters moving forward. That's not an unexpected piece to this, but I think it's just really important to communicate to people that we're going to be dealing with COVID for a while, and our knowledge of this and what it requires is going to evolve. So it's important to lean into those interventions. So if your public health agencies are saying, we are seeing a spike in transmission, it's the winter months, people are moving indoors, please follow those recommendations, because there's a reason behind them and we have to curb transmission.
So I guess lastly, then, let me ask you, Dr. Popescu, let's end maybe on a positive note. Are there things that we have learned? Like, what are the most important lessons we've learned from this that might be beneficial going forward if something like this were to happen again, or as we continue to battle this particular disease?
I think probably one of the most important lessons we've learned is that this is a global health issue. To really, truly, quote unquote, get rid of COVID, you know, whether that means bring it to an endemic state, I don't think we're going to eradicate it, but it requires us to think globally. COVID isn't gone anywhere until it's gone everywhere. We have the tools to do this, but we have to be very cognizant that even if the levels are very low in the United States, which we're really seeing this great decline, you know, we've only had 84,000 cases daily now, and I say only, but that's actually a lot. Even if we feel it's not as much of a problem in the US, there are countries where it is surging and increasing in transmission. Those are opportunities for new variants. So keeping our eye on the ball is going to be really important in this situation. We have the tools to do it, though. We just have to have that sustained response to this.
All right. Dr. Saskia Popescu is an epidemiologist for the University of Arizona and George Mason University. Dr. Popescu, thank you so much for taking the time to talk us through this. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.